Oliver Callan on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by It's for Women. Discover female health insurance through It's for Women.
Okie doke, a great show for you this morning. We're back for the final week of Treachery and Betrayal. How terribly fun. It's been just fantastic. Last night was a night of transformation, wasn't it? A new traitor on the show, and not one, but two faithfuls getting the axe. I'm talking, of course, about the TV show The Traitors, which everyone has been talking about for the last few weeks. We're going to be talking to the murdered and the banished later in the show today. Spoiler alert. And have you ever been in hospital and on your way to or from a procedure and the hospital porter who's pushing your chair or trolley cracks a joke and puts you at ease? Kind hospital porters are the heart and soul of our hospitals. They know every inch of the labyrinth of buildings, but they're the ones reassuring you on your way to surgery. Well, this morning we're going to be speaking to a man who's been working as a hospital porter for 30 years. He's the third generation in his family to work in the same hospital. He is now remarkably training to be a nurse. So we're going to hear all about that transition and why he's decided to make that change. But you know what? I saw the maddest thing on the way to work today. We all know foxes are becoming more urbanized these days, but what I saw this morning brings Streetwise to a whole new level. I was stopped at a traffic light on the Coast Road in Clontarf in Dublin on the way to work this morning, and I saw this creature on the footpath, and I thought, God, that looks like that dog looks like a fox. And then as my bleary eyes focused a little bit in the dark, I saw, oh, it actually is a fox. And he trotted up the pedestrian to the pedestrian crossing. And of course, nothing unusual. You see a lot of city foxes these days. But he trotted up merrily to the pedestrian crossing and he waited. And then he sat there patiently until the green man lit up and off he went across the road and down onto the beach. I thought, what's happening? Since when can foxes start using traffic lights? There he was, just sitting there waiting, just there, beep, 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 beep. And then off he went, across the road and down onto the beach. All he was missing was a dry robe and a pumpkin spice latte. He was like living his best life this morning. Just down there, heading off for his morning constitutional. I mean, I've heard of wild swimming, but that's ridiculous. He just sat there, yeah, and off he went. Very impressive. I mean, I knew they were cunning, but next they're going to be studying the bus timetables and heading into town. I guess nothing like the incentive of a few flattened friends to make you think, you know what, I think I'll work out how to work those flashing lights down at the junction. I'll tell you, after the weekend, I think the Collins Dictionary will have to re-examine the definition of the word game changer because Mary Lou McDonald got everyone very excited altogether, saying the party's participation in the presidential election campaign would be a game changer. Do you remember that last week? You just wait until Saturday, she said. Your minds will be blown. A total game changer. Mark my words. So we all did an excited little wee-wee dance until Saturday, waiting for the big news. And then Saturday comes and we hear, we're supporting Catherine Connolly, the same candidate we've been hearing about for weeks. Yep, we think she's sound. So that's it, guys. That was it. That was the incredible game-changing news. If that's a Sinn Féin game changer, I would hate to see a damn squib, I'll tell you. No offence to Catherine Connolly. It's not about her. It's the build-up. But we were expecting something new. It just reminds you of when you were in school and you asked your teacher, you know, Miss, where are we going on our school tour? And she'd be like, oh, now I can't tell you right now, but it's going to be a game changer. You will not believe it. It'll be a huge surprise. And all the kids are saying, but Miss, we just keep going to the zoo 50 times in a row. We're sick of it. And the teacher's like, no, no, this year you'll be surprised. It'll be a total game changer. Just you wait. And you just know the teacher's going, geez, I totally forgot about the school tour. And of course, the big day comes and it's, come on, children, we're off to the zoo again. That's what it was like. You know, or when your child rings you when you're abroad with the lads and says, Daddy, what surprises are you bringing me back? And as you croak down the phone with a hangover, I can't tell you, it's a surprise. It'll be a total game changer. And you arrive back with a boarding pass and half a pack of chewing gum. Game changer. Let's hope the presidential campaign has more actual surprises in store over the coming days, because right now it feels like a stick of rock from a walled garden. I don't know if you were watching it over the weekend. I hope you were. What an amazing few days for Irish heptathlete Kate O'Connor. She's now the World Championship silver medalist, and she previously finished 14th 14th place at the Paris Olympics, but now second silver medal around her neck. And she's the only the sixth Irish athlete ever to medal at the Worlds, the first since Rob Heffernan 12 years ago. Five personal bests, incredible, helped the Dundalk athlete become the first Irish woman to medal at a major championships in a multi-discipline sport. The heptathlon, I have to put my teeth in this morning for all these. The heptathlon event in Tokyo took place over 2 days, with the majority of the seven events done in a quick-fire manner. Unbelievably quick-fire. You'll hear from Kate in a minute just how little time they have. But the women's outdoor heptathlon has the following events, with the first four on the first day and the remaining contested on day two. So you got the 100-meter hurdles in there, the high jump, the shot put, 200 metres, long jump, javelin throw, and 800 metres. Kate described the timetable as insane. Here she is talking to RTE Sports' David Gillick, of course a former wonderful athlete himself, all about the event.
That timetable was insane. Like, you come in from an event and you have like literally like 1 minute to get your spikes and to get back to the call room to get back out.
Certainly Kate O'Connor is doing all she needs to do here. Kate O'Connor is the World Championship silver medalist. What a thing to be able to say.
It's nice to hear that everybody at home has enjoyed what they've done, the hard work that we've put in, and yeah, I hope I've inspired some younger generation kids to go out and hopefully win more medals for us in the future.
You're now up with the greats of Irish athletics.
Yeah.
You know.
That's insane. Like, even after indoors, whenever, like, there was a photo floating around of me, Sonia and Derville, and I was just looking at it and I was like, I've grown up looking up to these girls. Like, this is insane. And now I'm on a poster beside. I think that, like, that's something that I said to myself at the start of the year. I was like, don't put a limit on anything. Don't think that you got to stop anywhere. I think that I would actually think that I'm only getting started. I believe in myself that I'm only getting started, and I think I have a lot more progression to make. So yeah, I'm looking forward to pushing on even further.
She's so cool, isn't she? I just think this wave, current wave of in particular female Irish athletes, are just so impressive. And I was desperately trying to show my daughter, my 14-year-old daughter, the clips of what Kate was achieving over the weekend. I have a feeling if it was a makeup tutorial, she would have been more engaged with the clips I was trying to show her. But she definitely is inspiring a whole new wave of young people across the country and indeed across the world. Just brilliant to see her doing all that. And actually, you know, she mentioned the people that inspired her, Sonia O'Sullivan, Derville O'Rourke and the like. And over the weekend, they were in action behind the scenes in RTE, and I always wonder, like, what happens, you know, when pundits are actually watching the sporting event that we're all watching? How are they reacting to it? We got a little insight because over the weekend, Cian McPhillips, another wonderful Irish athlete from Ardagh, County Longford, made headlines when he set a new Irish record, coming fourth in the World Athletics Championships 800-metre final in Tokyo, just narrowly missing out on a medal. There was great excitement all over the country as people were cheering him on. And incidentally, he lost out to three Olympic medal winners. So he's right up there, and big things going to be happening for Cian McPhillips in the future, I'm sure. But Rob Heffernan, who of course we mentioned having won the walking medal 12 years ago, he was in studio as well, and he was watching the race behind the scenes in a break from broadcasting in RTE studios with fellow former athletes Sonia O'Sullivan, Derville O'Rourke and RTE Sports' Paul Flynn. And he shared the recording on Instagram. This is what it's like when pundits watch sport.
Come on, no Cian boy. Oh my God, 115. Oh, go on, Cian. Get on it now.
Get on it. Come on. Get on it.
Go on, Cian. Go, 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 go. Go on, Cian. Not just step there. Not step fucking there. Go on. Go on. Go on. Oh my God. Oh my God.
42.
I'm going to get sick.
It's brilliant, isn't it? And it makes perfect sense because, you know, this was their life, you know, as athletes, and they're running every step with these athletes they're watching on the TV, just like the rest of us at home. It's great. It sounded like they were passing helium around the studio. Could they just kept getting higher and higher. Like the old Bosco tongue twisters. But it's great. And the The RTE coverage has been wonderful as well. Really, really got into it. Something completely different now, and something that caught my eye today. The two certain things in life are death and taxes. So why are we not better at talking about it all? Look, in fairness, we Irish, we're brilliant at funerals and comforting rituals and the shaking hands and the queuing up and sorry for your troubles and all that. But we still are pretty squeamish about the more detailed aspects of death and its aftermath. And when we try and talk about these things, we suddenly all end up shuffling our feet and looking at the ground and saying, sure, look it, isn't that it? But the problem with that is that we leave our nearest and dearest with the Herculean task of sorting all our former lives out. Suzanne Harrington is in the Irish Independent today. She's in her 50s and has started her end-of-life planner, saying that it's basic common sense. After her dad and other close family relatives passed away, she realised how hard it was to talk about death and where all the important documents were to get everything in order, from the funeral to a will and the whole everything else that goes with it. Her own children have made it clear to her to be organised. Good on you, children. So she ordered an end-of-life planner, and it was an A4 size ring binder journal containing 140 pages worth of death planning. that sounds intense to me, but you know what? I think this is a great idea. I've actually done this because I know the Irish Hospice Foundation have a Think Ahead pack that makes it all very easy. Because that's the stuff you need to let people know about. The bank accounts, the pension details, the investments, whether you want to be cremated or not. You know, these are important details. And it's currently free to download, and they've €5 to have a hard copy posted out to you. It's well worth it, and I've used it. It's very straightforward. It's also not 140 pages. I don't know where they got that one, but hospicefoundation.ie is the place to go. But I noticed there's also a story, I don't know why everyone's talking about death on a Monday, but there's a story on the BBC website today about how people are becoming obsessed with creating funeral playlists and which songs best represent their lives and all that. And all I can think is, that's great that you want Pink Floyd playing as they carry you out of the church in your wicker coffin. But where's your crypto? Okay, you know, forget the Beyonce track selection and write a will. Probate is zero crack. So, you know, playlists, great, but, you know, just tell us where the bank accounts are and what your PIN codes are to your phone and everything else. Okay, that will make life a lot easier while we're, of course, while we're grieving you terribly. I want to talk about something that's a little bit more crack than all that. Conkers. Organisers of this year's World Conker Championship in England are a little worried. It looks like they might have to axe this year's competition because this season's conkers are much smaller than usual. Everyone calls them conkers, right? Everyone knows I'm talking about horse chestnuts, yeah? Because sometimes you say conkers to someone who isn't from Ireland and they're like, what are you talking about? Apparently, they're worried about the size of the conkers because the UK had its hottest summer on record. And you see, small conkers are not good for conker championships. Their size makes them more likely to split when holes are drilled into them for, you know, for the lace, for the conker swinging. Big, fresh conkers are what they need for this most autumnal of sports. But alas, they are in short supply. Organisers will make a call on whether or not the championships will go ahead in the next week to 10 days. So, you know, stay on the edges of your seat. Forget the athletics. This is where the real sport happens. I remember we used to put our conkers in the hot press to toughen them up. There was always some lad in school who had some conker that was so rock hard, all the brown casing on the outside had gone, and this thing literally you could just break rocks with it. And then that same conker would go year to year. I'm pretty sure we used to call them seasoners. If someone had a seasoner, it meant that it was a conker from previous years. 51551, if you have any particular conker memories you want to share with us. Apparently, though, the World Conker Championship has been running for 60 years. It's a charity event. It takes place in a small village called Southwark in England. If the event goes ahead, 256 players will compete for the title of Conker Queen and Conker King, watched by up to 2,500 Conker fans. But you know, it's worth pointing out, size isn't everything. It's what you do with your small conkers. That's what matters. Anyway, sometimes they're not small. It's just cold. Aren't I right? The Gorillaz have dropped a new single last week, so we're going to play them today. They have a new album coming out next year, so we're going into their back catalogue, which is absolutely brilliant, with Feel Good Inc. from their album Demon Days back in 2005. Take it away, boys. The Gorillaz. And they have a new album coming out next year. Enjoying playing that. Always sounding good. Talking about foxes, I was telling you that I noticed a fox who was sitting at a pedestrian crossing and waited for the green man and then headed off for a walk on the beach today. I was like, what is going on? Loads of you into the foxes, it seems, this morning. Marion says, foxes, dogs also wait for the beep. They learn from people. Yes, I've seen dogs do it all right, but I guess, you know, the foxes aren't learning from anybody. Or maybe they're all secretly in the hedge just watching us and then coming out at night to cross the road themselves. I was on an air coach, says Eilish in Stillorgan, at 2 a.m. a few years ago, passing McDonald's in Stillorgan. A fox walked across the road in front of the bus with a McDonald's takeaway bag in his mouth. Well, it seems they like the late night snacks as well. My grandmother had a dog, says Frank, that would catch the bus into town alone and return on the correct bus alighting at the right stop. The drivers all knew him and he was a local treasure. That's fantastic. And Nolan Dunbeg says, maybe the fox saw a zebra crossing and learned from him. Hey! 515 0871 087 032 32 32 is the WhatsApp if you want to get in touch. And coming up, it's time for treason, for treachery. We're going to be speaking to the murdered and the banished from last night's episode of Traitors. Spoilers on the way.